your soul. And Beaver, don't crep parole.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and all the boys are back together again. The prison cell, the aquarium, we're all here. Good morning, Brian.
And Brian is early.
Yo, late Brian was here when
he was
walked
here
in.
We walked in. I couldn't believe it. Once out of 200 days.
I don't know that the air conditioning is properly working in here, but it does feel better than the tent.
It kind of feels like it feels a little bit like the tent. But I'm already starting to perspire a little bit, though.
A little perspiration. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. We're back. Landfill, I'm sure, is thrilled to see us. White Brian can barely contain his enthusiasm. We're off and running, and honestly, got a little breaking news here off the top. Mark Seagraves, who has just dominated this the stadium story, the RFK Stadium story throughout, just tweeted out, maybe the Commanders have announced this too. The Commanders sent everybody on the city council from Mendelson all the way to Felder, everybody involved, they sent a new letter regarding the redevelopment of the RFK campus. And there is a lot in here, but one of the biggest questions, what's one thing, unless you're working with Paul Henry, what's one thing that happens in construction? It ends up costing more.
Oh, yeah.
Right? This letter is to Mendelson and all of the council members. And the first bullet point, much like, you know how you and I always circle back to the first bullet point on the Senate's legislation that gave the city the land back?
Yep.
The first bullet point was to build a stadium.
Stadium.
Right?
Yeah.
The first bullet point tends to be the most important. The first bullet point in this letter, and I read now, the club will be responsible for all cost overruns for the stadium and parking projects. The club is also responsible for all stadium maintenance costs in excess of the stadium maintenance fund. That's been a huge topic. Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay when the costs go higher?
Yeah.
And they're left hand up. We're paying for it, dude.
Well, you know, if they, like I said, we're looking at a stadium right now that they're redoing and adding parts to. There's a practice facility that they may stay at or they may leave it, but they are upgrading it and they're investing in it. They understand to keep value, you got to put something into it. So if this stadium is built as they say it's going to be, there will be things that needs to be done to keep it going. And if you are benefiting from it, why wouldn't you want to do it? You know, and let's be real. Eventually, when the other side starts getting money, they'll realize that, you know what, we have to help out too. They'll do it. It all it'll go where it's supposed to go as time goes on. I understand that, you know, and listen, you want to get as much as you can out of this thing, but you can't keep expecting everything out of it if you ain't putting nothing in it.
Totally. I'm going to continue to read here because this is really interesting. I retweeted it. Seagraves had it first to me, of my knowledge. The second bullet point, this has been a huge sticking point because you do events over there. The fields at RFK, like all these playing fields for these kids, are packed. And they got flag football, soccer. Like, it's always jumping over there with kids' sports. And let's be real, you don't want to lose that. You understand construction could change things. But the second bullet point says, the club will plan construction and development of the stadium and the mixed-use environment in a manner that allows the fields at RFK campus to remain open.
I thought that was discussed already, though.
Sure, but now
they're just adding it in a letter.
The team is just making it, putting it official on the record. You got this now. All right, we got a few more related to transportation, okay? They will develop a parking plan that does not preclude the construction of a new infill metro rail station on or near Oklahoma Avenue if it is deemed necessary as the full build-out of the RFK campus. So they're going to start building stuff, but if they need a new metro stop, they're going to make room for it.
All right.
Where's Oklahoma Avenue? On the north side of it? I will say, B, now granted, I haven't been to the metro over there recently, but, like, the metro stations that are there serviced games at that stadium.
It did.
Like, maybe you need to refurbish the joints that are there, but, like, I don't really understand why you need more metros when the stadium will probably be bigger and have more amenities.
It was. You got to realize this thing wasn't used for how long?
I understand they probably need some refurbishments and stuff. I just don't understand why you need another metro.
But if
there's
if they're going to build this stadium as they say, and you're going to probably have to dig down some and do some different things, you may have to adjust where it's located, where the actual entrance point is located.
I get it. What did RFK seat? 55? It was small,
4,000.
Right. So 54,000 used to be able to take the metro there, and it wasn't that long ago. The Nats were still playing there. DC United was still playing there. Like, the metro still operates over there.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were able to handle 50, 60,000 people then.
But see, that's the difference, Jay. You're going to have 65,000 people to a stadium while on top of it, you're trying to build other stuff around
that's true.
Which is going to change up the amount of people and everything else over there.
Yeah, that's true. The club, how about this one? Because there is a lot of concern about tailgating. I think it's kind of misguided. I think people like view things through their current prism rather than trying to imagine what the next prism will look like.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to every stadium in the NFL. There are urban stadiums where people still tailgate.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Baltimore. You don't have to go that far to figure it out.
Yeah, they're fine. They tailgate in those parking lots.
What ends up happening is like people that have parking lots near there, people will let you park at their house. They'll tailgate for you. Like, mm-hmm. That used to happen back in the 90s. I think the, oh, my God, how are we going to tailgate is overthought. I think
it's overblown as well.
I also think, like, the bars that are right there, all of a sudden will have $3 hot dogs.
Listen,
like,
man, you may go tailgating, and people love to tailgate. But if you don't have the position and you have other means, you're going to try and figure out something else. And you will find a way.
I think for the people that are committed to tailgating, and I know lots of them, I am pro tailgating, right? Like, I love a good tailgate. It'll get figured out.
Yeah.
But I also think in 5 years, 6 years, when games are getting played at this stadium, you see the Waymo's driving around all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Remember in Phoenix, they were everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just think 5 years from now, so many more people will be just Ubering everywhere. Or, like, riding in these driverless cars everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just think the world's
going to
keep changing.
Even the mayor stated that.
What's that?
The mayor stated that in one of her talks.
What'd she say?
The driverless cars and the Ubering and how transportation is going to be, where people could talk about all the parking. Hell, well, most people won't be driving a car. They'll be showing up, getting dropped off, and then catching a car to go home.
Right. Like, if they had to do one thing forward thinking, because it doesn't look like my boats are going to happen. I've been banging the boat drum. Apparently, have you ever tried to take a boat up to the stadium?
To RFK Stadium?
Yeah.
No.
So a buddy of mine did. You know my boy, uh-huh. Kelly, because he's heard me talk about it, and he has a boat that he keeps right there by the airport.
Okay.
And he's like, dude, there's like a dam or something. Like, there's some restriction. I want boats.
They discussed the waterfront and all that stuff. And I believe if you're going to start building stuff on it, you're going to open it up.
Hold up, fellas.
You might have to dredge it.
That will be hard. I fished the water that's right there accessible to RFK.
Uh-huh.
Catch some big fish back there, too. But it will be kind of hard for boats to stay there because the water level is so low.
Right, you'd have to dredge it and all sorts.
But it's dammed up right now, so you're not getting much back in there.
There's something like preventing boats from
being. If they were to open that thing up, you can get some water in there.
So,
because I'm going to tell you, I don't care what the water look like. When you got waterfront, people will use it.
For sure. Things continue here. The team is committing to all sorts of environmental and community efforts. The club will ensure that the stadium and mixed-use environments are built in a manner that honors the legacy of the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy, including opportunities to memorialize him and his good works in park names, private street names, or other respectful measures. Obviously, you know, that thing was called DC Stadium, and then RFK was killed. He was assassinated in California, and they renamed it after him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would be very surprised, Brian, if there wasn't a stadium naming rights deal.
It's going to be.
If it didn't become, you know, American Express Field at
American
RFK
Express,
Stadium.
Yeah, bam. Yeah. Listen, you're going to have that name in it, but you know what? The person that's dropping those dollars is going to be having their name up there, too.
The club has also committed $50 million for additional community benefits. And there's this, I like this. I'm going to read it, and then you tell me what you're hearing, B. The club will invest $50 million over 30 years in community benefits, prioritizing businesses and residents in wards 5, 7, and 8, where, frankly, not many people are prioritizing businesses, I add parenthetically, including annual club reporting of the CBA investments. $20 million to be invested over 30 years for the creation and continued support of a Commander's Youth Academy focusing on educational success and youth sports located in Ward 7. The Commander's Youth Academy will be a year-round, high-impact initiative that leverages the power of football to deliver athletic development, tutoring services, academic support, mentorship, and leadership training to underserved youth across D.C. I love that. Like, build even if ultimately what you're building is kind of just a Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. but it's called Commander's Youth Academy instead of Boys and Girls Club, like a YMCA, just a place for kids to go where they can get their homework done, mm-hmm. they can play hoops, play football, like a safe space for underserved kids right there, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. But it's going to take more than just Commanders building the site there. It's going to take community people also being a part of it.
Sure.
And making sure that it stays how it's supposed to be.
When we had Councilman McDuffie on last week, mm-hmm. I asked him, because I read this really interesting article about food deserts in impoverished areas, right? And how, mm-hmm. like, people want to eat healthy. They just don't have access to healthy food. Like, if you don't have a car and the only place you can get food within 2 miles of your house is fast food, it's really hard to live on salads and, you know, yeah, right, grilled chicken. $3 million to be invested over 10 years to provide grocery subsidies in Ward 7. That's putting an impact right where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted it out. Seagraves has it if you want to look at that more. To me, by far, the headline is they're committing to cost overruns.
There you go.
And I think it's easy to get caught up in the how much, you know, how many major events will be there. I think major events where
you got to get the damn stadium built before you start realizing how many major events are going to be somewhere.
I just think, to me,
if the stadium's not built right now, it's not many people going to be locking in. You know, you're going to find out there's going to be other spots getting locked in prior to that.
I think big events where you're talking, you get 3/4 of the stadium full, right? I think you got, call it 10 Commanders games a year. I think realistically you probably get 3 college football games in there. Soccer, like, you know, mm-hmm. Manchester United comes to town to play some soccer.
Yeah.
Like, what you can count on, I think year to year you can count on like 20 big events a year. And then you add, there's a lot of like smaller stuff that gets hosted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think looking at Dallas and New York maybe is unfair because Jerry World is so over the top. New York is just so big. There's so much stuff that happens there.
I remember you got the lore of the nation's capital.
Sure.
So you can begin to pull stuff like that too.
But like if you look, 48 wrote a story in the Post this morning about kind of the what constitutes major events and all these things. If you look at Atlanta, Minnesota, Vegas, I mean they're all at about 130, 150 big events a year. I think
the question I would ask
ran correctly, that sounds about right.
If ran correctly, but there's a big old building over there right downtown right now called the Convention Center.
Yeah.
How many events happen there per year?
Ton.
Okay. So if you were having a lot of events there, and some of them probably can't because of the way it is, you could probably push some stuff back over to that area too. And let's be real. You think they're going to want to just get rid of that too? That as well, because that is a moneymaker for them too.
Yeah, totally. I think if you, like I used to go to this crazy event, Taste of the South. You ever go to that?
I've been to it.
Taste of the South, they used to have it at the Armory when I was going to it, you know, 20, 15 years ago. I imagine now that's at Anthem or something. There are some of these big events that I think will rotate. If you have a dope indoor stadium, like I, so people understand.
Fact that the stadium will be indoor, that's going to open up even more opportunities.
Totally. I've been to big ass stadiums when it's not a big ass event. Think about media night at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's basically just the field is full and there's some performances and stuff. Like, there'll be lots of that.
I've been to Northwest Stadium when there are four or five different events going on at a time.
Right.
It's not necessarily the whole field is being occupied, but they have all of those different areas where we can have one event here for one company, another one upstairs for another company. Then where they used to have that club up there, that could be another one. So it you can have the 200. All 200 may not be 60,000 people, but you can have 200 events easily.
Right. And if you build out the surrounding areas, right? Like if you have cool bars over there and nice apartments and there's a grocery store and like there's a way for everybody just to operate and live there and it becomes like Nats Park. Like this Navy Yard area is at its most packed during Nats home games.
Mm-hmm.
But as five dudes that work down here every day, it's packed plenty all the time.
Yes.
Like you could build up another part of the city. And I think I think that's the key here. I think it's an exciting day. Obviously, there's a hearing over there. We're hoping to get Seagraves on the line